is who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. Perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of a peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still in the love, love.
Scripture for a moment here. We're going to read from Psalm 61. It's going to be verses 1 through 3. It says, "Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy." We're going to go back into this chorus, and we're just going to keep that in our minds and our hearts, reminding ourselves just how good a Father that God is, and that He is on our side at all times, even when we don't feel it.
You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I am loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you.
Sing that again. You're here.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here. You're working in this place. I I worship you. I worship you. 'Cause you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here. You're healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. And you are here, mending every heart. I worship you, I worship you. 'Cause you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Way darkness, my God, that is who you are. Sing, that's who you are. That is 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 who you are. And that is who you are. That is who you are. And that is who you are. That is you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, never stop working.
Never stop working.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop. Sing it out. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel that you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. And we just think about Daniel in the lion's den. Oh Lord, every story, every parable you give us is to uplift us and show us you love us. You're always making a way. You're always making a way. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
It's who he is.
That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. That is
never stop working. Never stop, never stop. Proclaim that it's true. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you
Thank you, God, that you are greater than any enemy, that you are greater than doubt, you're greater than fear. God, and when we face obstacles, we don't see a way out, and we see nothing but trouble and pain and heartache, which you've told us there will be struggles in this life. And God, although we know that you are faithful and we know that you are a good, good Father, sometimes we still lose hope. When we see that river before us and we say, God, have you led us to this point just to let us die? God, and we know that that isn't true. We've seen many times before in our lives when you've come through, let us not lose faith just because it's yet another circumstance that we have to trust in you. God, you are so good and you are so gracious to us and you're forgiving and you're merciful. We love you, Jesus. We pray all this in your name. Amen.
Well, good morning. I guess we're having some trouble with the sound online. So a couple of weeks ago, we had an electrical mishap or something. And so I don't know if you guys are hearing this online or not, but we had an electrical mishap that happened. And so it burned out a couple of things. And I guess it messed up something in there, too. So sorry about that. But you guys are going to get the full effect. You get the visual as well as the audio. So everything's going to be great. You guys are going to love this. So a couple of months ago, not quite 2 months ago, Lisa and I bought a new car. So we have a Honda CR-V hybrid. Now, if you don't know what the deal is with the hybrids, that's fine. I can kind of help you understand how the hybrids work. Hybrids are really cool kind of a car because what they are is they have a gas engine that sometimes powers the wheels, and they have an electric engine that sometimes powers the wheels. And sometimes, like when Pastor Forrest drives, they both work. And so you got both of them doing it. And so what the idea is the car kind of reads the way that it's being driven, and they read the road and the conditions and the all of that. It reads and it knows which one to do. But the most fuel-efficient way to drive a hybrid if it's mostly in electric, because electric is kind of the best gas mileage. So, the problem with that is in order to drive like that, you have to drive really slow and kind of just really carefully and, you know, be real careful. And sometimes I'm in a hurry and I don't always like to do that. But a hybrid, if you really want to get, you know, milk the best gas mileage out of the car, you have to drive it in electric. And it's just the way you have to do it. And so the reason that I'm telling that story is that it's a little bit like prayer. And when we're praying for specifically, like we're going to talk about this morning, when you're praying for other people who are believers, you can do it any old way, you can drive any old way, but there's a couple of things that if you did it this way, it would be more effective. And so what we're trying to do, especially in the new year, is we're trying to encourage all of us to start thinking about and caring for the people that are in church with us. to start thinking about how we can help them, how we can serve them, how we can minister to the people who are in the pews with us on a Sunday morning. And this morning what we're going to talk about is how do we do that? How do we pray for those people most effectively? And one of the things I want to point out and to tell to you is that it's kind of like driving a hybrid. If you just pray, the Lord knows what people need, and he knows what your heart is, and he can kind of figure it out. He can get those prayers to accomplish what he needs them to accomplish. But if we want to try to be really efficient with our prayers, if we want our prayers to really help change people, change situations in life, how do we do that? How do we pray in such a way that's most effective? And that's what we want to talk about here this morning. And so if you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to turn with me to the book of 2 Thessalonians. We are going through a series in the book of 2 Thessalonians. And if you're using the Pew Bible this morning, you're going to be on page 989. And we are talking about, we're going to look at, in the first chapter of 2 Thessalonians, we're going to look at a section where the Holy Spirit inspired Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to write to the Thessalonian church and tell them how they are praying for them. And what we're going to do is we look at that prayer. We're going to see, okay, what can we learn about how we pray for each other? What can we learn about how we should pray for each other that would be more effective? And these are some really great concepts. It's kind of a really packed in couple of verses. So there's a lot of concepts that I'm going to have to kind of open up and explain for you. But I think one of the things that you're going to see at the end is there's some value to really being intentional about how we pray for the people around us. And so at the end of the service, I'm going to encourage you, I'm going to challenge you to find someone that's in your life who's a believer and pray for them every day this week. But the idea is that you're going to pray for them the way that, the way that we see this morning. So it's going to be helpful as we're going along if you're getting this. But it's kind of some of this stuff is it's kind of heady and it's hard to do on a Sunday morning, I know. So let me see if I can kind of stretch it out a little bit and break it out a little bit and help it to be more understandable. But the first thing that we're going to see is that if we want to have really effective prayer, we need to pray for believers that they would fulfill their calling. I'm going to talk a little bit about what that means, but I'm then also going to challenge us to think that we would fulfill their goodness. Most believers have a desire to be good before the Lord, to represent the Lord well, and so this prayer is going to pray that they would do that. And then the last thing is that they would fulfill their works of faith. And I'll explain what those are. But what we're going to see is that Paul and Silvanus and Timothy are asking God to act in the lives of believers. And that's ultimately what we're going to do. And what happens oftentimes when we pray for people is we pray in this sense, we have this idea, I just want their life to be easier, I want them to be more comfortable, I want them to have more of a beneficial, a bountiful life. And oftentimes what's happening is the Lord is working in the person's life, working through the circumstances, and he's doing something much bigger than their comfort. And these prayers kind of help align our minds to what the Lord might be doing in a person's life. And so that's what we're going to look at here this morning. And so what is the most effective way for you to pray for a person who's a believer? And the first thing that we see is that we should pray that they fulfill their calling. Look with me at verse 11. It says, but to this end, which is a reference back to the verses that precede, talking about the return of Christ, when Jesus promised before he left that he would return and that he would come back and he would return and all the believers would have a chance to meet him in the air. And it says, with this in mind, to this end, we also pray for you always. And I want to just take a moment and let's kind of settle ourselves in what that means, is because if you think of this letter is being written by Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. To some degree, they're big hitters in the church at this time. They're kind of important people. And for the little bitty church of Thessalonica to hear this, that Paul and Silvanus and Timothy are praying for them always, that would be a huge encouragement to them. And that's kind of what we understand this to be saying. He said, is that makes sense, that this would be encouraging to them. And so as they're reading this, to this end, we also pray for you always. And here's the beginning of what it is that they pray about. We pray that our God, and the reference there to our God means that he understands he's speaking to believers, people who have trusted in Christ. He says, we pray for you always that our God will consider you worthy of your calling. Now, the concept of that God will consider you, in our translation from the original language to English, the idea when we think of consider you, we think of this is an idea of how God looks at us. This is how God sees us. And so it sounds like what he's saying is that God would consider us, would think about us this way. But the original word has another motion, has another element to it, and that is the idea of that God would make them this way. And so our English doesn't necessarily do justice to what's being communicated here. What's being communicated here is that, and some translations do translate it this way as make, the idea is that they're praying that God would make them worthy. He would, first of all, consider them to be worthy. He would think about them that way. And because he's God, then he would do what he needs to do to make them worthy. So it's an action that God would put about. As all of these prayers are. And verse 11 says this, to this end we pray for you always, that our God would consider you worthy, or make you worthy, and make you worthy of your calling. And the calling we see up in verse 5 is that calling out of life of sin, out of the way that they had been in rebellion to God, out of that into the kingdom of God. And so what is being prayed for here is that these believers would understand how God has called them into an intimate relationship with himself. And that's a huge concept that's very, very difficult for us to understand. Because the God of the universe, who spoke with his words, and the universe was created, the God of the universe who can go anywhere, he is everywhere, always at the same time. He's never restricted. There's nothing that he can't do. There's no place that he can't go. He's infinite. The infinite God of the universe wants to have a relationship with humans. And that's really the idea here is if we can, is they're praying that these believers would understand what God has called them out of and what God has called them into, an intimate relationship with himself. And that is the prayer, that is the thing that we can do as we're praying for people. You may get a request from somebody, said, hey, would you pray for me about this? And that's a wonderful thing to do, and I'm not saying we shouldn't do that, but to add to it the idea of praying for them, that God would help them to understand how much he loves them and how much he wants a relationship with them. This past week, there was a teacher in the school who whose husband passed away unexpectedly in December. And so the funeral was yesterday here. And over the past couple of weeks, I've been praying a lot for this individual. And this past week, I prayed for her. And I prayed for her this thing. And this will help you to begin to help you to see what's being talked about here. Because as I approached the prayer for her, the thing I often would think about to pray is, Lord, that you would make her comfortable, that you would help her to feel peace in the midst of this loss. Help her to get all of the details of the finances and help that all to get worked out. But my prayer is often, as it is for many people, is just that their lives would be comfortable, that they would be peaceful, that things would be fun. But the reality is, and what as I was looking at this, is yeah, but the Lord may be using those difficult times to draw people into a closer relationship with themselves. Many people who have lost loved ones would say that those time periods of grieving were the most intimate times with God. And so as I prayed for her this past week, I prayed for her for peace and for smoothness of the process and all. But I also said, Lord, I don't know what you're doing in her life, but I pray that you would draw her close to yourself. That at the end of this experience, that she would be closer to you. And that's, if you look at it, that's what this prayer, the first part of this prayer, is really talking about. It's not saying that Paul and Silvanus and Timothy didn't pray about other things. They probably did. But they also prayed that they would be drawn into an intimate relationship with God, that they would understand their calling. And so as we look forward, as we're thinking about how to pray for others and how to pray for others more effectively, one of the things to keep in mind is that we pray that they would fulfill their calling. Really, truly understand what it means to be loved by the God of the universe, and that the God of the universe wants to be in an intimate relationship with them. So how do we be most effective in our prayers for believers? First of all, pray that they would fulfill their calling. The second thing they pray for is that it says is that pray for them to fulfill their goodness. Their goodness, if you look in the middle part of verse 11, it says this, that and fulfill every desire for goodness. So the prayer is still going on, and they're praying for these Thessalonian believers, and they're saying, we're praying that you would, that God would fulfill, that would bring to completion, that would bring it to be achieved, to be accomplished, every desire. And the desire is on the part of the person who's being prayed for, the Thessalonian believers. You would fulfill every desire that they have for goodness. And the word goodness here has to do with being, doing the right thing, but it's within the context of doing what's the right thing in relationship to others. Being good isn't just about being good in the midst of a very narrow area. It's being good in relationship to the people in your life. And so what is being prayed for here is that the people would fulfill their own personal desire to be good and to be a good representative of what the Lord is doing in their life. And that most of the believers that I've met throughout my history are people that truly desire, and they may not always know how to do that, but they want to do what's good. They want to be good, not because they just want to be good, but they want to be a good representative of who God is to the people in their lives. They want to be an accurate representation. They understand how much God has loved them, and they want to demonstrate that love and demonstrate that graciousness to the people around them. They want to truly be good. But oftentimes what people struggle with is how. They don't always know how to do it. In situations, they don't necessarily know what's the good thing to do because of various factors. And so what Paul and Silvanus and Timothy are doing here is they're praying that these believers would have the opportunity, that God would work in their lives so that they carry out the desire to be good that's already in them, the things that they already want to do. And that's the call for us. The call for us is to pray for the believers in our lives and pray that they would do the good things that they feel the Lord wants them to do. And this prayer is one that I prayed about for a different person that I was praying for this week. And I said, I want to pray for them and pray for what they asked me to pray about, which I did. And then I started thinking through, now how can I pray this goodness prayer in their life? And so I started thinking about their life. And I started thinking about what I perceive to be their motives and what they try to do. And I just got a new appreciation for the person. Because I said, you know what, Anna, by and large, for the most part, this person is really trying to do what's good in their lives. And so instead of just saying, hey, Lord, help them with this and moving on, just saying, Lord, work in their life and help them to do the good that apparently they want to do. They have a desire within them to do good. Help them to do that. And as I prayed for that with them, I just felt emotionally more connected to the person. And you may have had a situation like that where you prayed for someone and it felt very distant. You felt distant from the person. It's like, yeah, I just hope so-and-so with such-and-such. But when you start thinking through, okay, what are the good desires that they have, and how can I pray that God would help them to carry out those, you're thinking more about the person, you're engaging with them, As you engage with them, you'll pray more heartfelt about them. So what is the most effective way to pray for a believer? First of all, pray that they would fulfill their calling. They would understand how God has called them into a relationship with himself, and help them to pray that they would understand that. Second of all, pray that they would achieve the good things that they want to do, the desires that God has put within them to show grace or to show love to people. Help that person to do that. And the last thing is that they would fulfill their works. Fulfill their works. The last part of verse 11 says this. And the work of faith with power. So the "and" there considers all the things before that. They're praying to the Lord for the Thessalonian believers, and that they would fulfill the work of faith. The work of faith, the work refers to their actions, their decisions to do something, to decisions to not do something, based upon faith, based upon their convictions about what God wants them to do or what God doesn't want them to do. And they whenever you bring that faith concept into the conversation, the idea is always shrouded in the thing that oftentimes what God calls us to do is something that doesn't seem humanly logical to us. It's an action and it's a decision that we have to make where we're stepping out in faith, where we're living a certain way, even though the people around us don't think that's the right way to go, to love someone who's unlovely. And the rest of the world would say, why are you fussing with that? To do something that puts God's priorities first, and people are like, why would you do that? And so what these believers are being prayed for is that they would step out in those actions and those decisions, living by faith. Praying for them that they would, regardless of what their situation is or where they're at or what they're doing, that they would live by faith. And that's something that we can pray for other people. There's a friend who has shared with me some of where he's at in his journey, and right now he's going through a very difficult time in his career. And he is being called upon to do things that are very difficult to do. And as I listen to him about what he's doing, I'm like, man, I'm not even sure I could pull that off. I'm not even sure I could do that in the midst of that. But then as I began to pray for him, I said, Lord, help him to fulfill doing what he knows is right in the midst of a very difficult situation. Give him a sense of what is right and help him to do that. And one of the things that changed in me as I began to pray for him, as I began to put myself into his situation and hear the dynamics, and my prayer was more heartfelt. It was more passionate. Because I realized that the things that he is doing are not easy to do. The things that he's being called to do, the things that he's considering doing, are not easy. And so even though I'm fortunate that I don't have to go through that situation, I'm praying for him, I feel drawn in to what he's praying about and what he's trying to do. And I pray for him more passionately because of that. And that's the idea, is as we pray for other believers, and as we pray for believers and we say, Lord, help them to do their works of faith, to make those decisions that are hard to make, but to make those decisions that are based upon what they know is the right thing to do, even if our culture, even if the people around them don't sound like that's what they think they should do. Help that person to do that. And so that's the idea. If we want to pray most effectively for other people, we pray in such a way that we're bringing God into the conversation. We're not just saying, God, please do what I think is right. We're starting to say, God, please do what's actually in line with what you're doing in this person's life. Help them to fulfill their calling. Help them to fulfill their works of faith, and help them to fulfill the things that they know they need to do. A couple of months ago, probably 4 or 5 months ago now, a friend asked about the Honda CR-V Hybrid. She was considering purchasing this vehicle and didn't know about the hybrid, what's the deal with the two engines, how does that all work? And so I stopped and I just kind of explained to her how it worked. And one of her concerns was, how do you know whether it's on gas or if it's on electricity? Like, is there a button you have to switch? And I said, no, it's automatic. It does it on its own. And kind of explained it all through her and helped her to see some of the benefits and some of the problem, you know, what's not good about it, what is good about it, back and forth and all of those things. And as we talked it through, I was really helping to try to educate her what this was, and she ended up purchasing that vehicle. She liked the advantages that it had, and she enjoyed that, and so she purchased that vehicle. And so as it came time for us to then purchase a vehicle, we began to think about, okay, what are some things? And that background of what I had talked to her about was a part of the conversation as we chose a vehicle for us. And so the idea is that as I was helping her figure out something for her, it affected what we were doing. And that's the beauty of what we're talking about with this prayer. As you begin to pray for others in these ways, you're beginning to get an understanding of how God works in your life as well. It's not necessarily that you need to pray for these exact things for yourself, but if you pray for those things in somebody else, it begins to help you to understand how God wants to work in your life. As you pray that someone has an understanding of how much God loves them and what it means to be called into a relationship with Him, and you're praying for that for someone else, you begin to see in your own life, that's also true, it may be true for me. If I'm a believer, then God has called me into an intimate relationship with Himself. The same thing is with the other issues. As you pray for someone else, that begins to help you understand what that has to do with yourself, how God sees you, how God wants to interact with you. So my challenge for you this week is this. Think of a person who is a believer in your life, someone who you know, someone who you are acquainted with, who is having some kind of difficulty right now, or maybe just straight up person in your life who just you want to pray for, and pray these three things for them. Over the next week, every day, pray for one of these three things. And the idea is, as the week progresses, you're going to have a deeper understanding about the power of prayer. You're going to have a deeper love for the individual you're praying for. And hopefully, by the end of the week, you also have an understanding of how God wants to work in your life as well. So this week, choose a person who is a believer in your life. Commit every day, at some point every day, to pray for them in one of these three ways. And then at the end of the week, look back on the experience and see how it has changed your perspective of them, your perspective of prayer, and your perspective of the Lord. At this point in the service, now we want to move into our time of the Lord's Supper of communion. And if you didn't receive one of these plastic disposable communion cups on your way in, if you just raise your hand, and we have some individuals that will get those for you. And this is giving us an opportunity to remember what Jesus did when he died on the cross. And this is an opportunity, this is something that Jesus invited his disciples into because of their faith in who he was. And he invited them to remember in the future what he was at that point going to do for them. And we continue this tradition of remembering as something that is meaningful for those of us who are in an intimate relationship with the Lord. We realize in many, many ways we don't deserve to even be able to participate in the Lord's Supper or participate in a relationship with the Lord. We don't deserve that. But Jesus loved us and he was willing to give up his body, give up his blood, so that we could be in an intimate relationship with him. And as a way of expressing our thankfulness, as a way of expressing our gratitude, as a way of expressing our just in our sense of awe because of what Jesus did for us, now we take the Lord's Supper. And there's two parts. There's the bread and the cup. And as we talk about those, I'll remind us a little bit of what it is that Jesus sacrificed for those who are believers. You pull off the top part and reveal the wafer. The book of 1 Corinthians tells us, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself." The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took some bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." What he was saying there is that it was because I would be willing later that night to shed my blood on the cross, you would have an opportunity to be a part of the new covenant. He said, "Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And then he concluded with, "For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until he comes again."